This morning, the text that I want to draw our attention to is from 2 Corinthians, and it's really just going to be kind of a meditation together. We're going to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 to 18, and so if you have a Bible with you, or if you brought one, or if you want to turn on your Bible, you can do that, or you can turn to the screens to my left and right. Here are Paul's words to us. But we have this treasure in clay jars, so that it may be made clear that this extraordinary power belongs to God and does not come from us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body of Christ the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be made visible in our bodies. For while we live, we are always being given up to death for Jesus' sake, so that in the life of Jesus may be made visible in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. But just as we have the same spirit of faith that is in accordance with the Scripture, I believed and so I spoke. We also believe and so we speak. Because we know that the one who raised Christ Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will bring us with you into his presence. Yes, everything is for your sake, so that the grace, as it extends more and more to people, may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So we do not lose heart. Even though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all measure. Because we look not at what can be seen, but at what cannot be seen. For what can be seen is temporary, but what cannot be seen is eternal. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And may the same Holy Spirit that inspired the writing of this word inspire it now in our hearing as well. Amen. This morning, in the few minutes that I want to just spend sharing with you, I want to talk a little bit about how God takes things that are broken or weak and uses them to create something that is beautiful, something that is transformative, something that is a witness to the world. On the screens, you will see a picture of something that I'm holding in my left jacket pocket. Over the last year or so, or last couple of years, we've had a chance to get to know partners and ministries from around the world. And most recently, Erica, there she is, Erica traveled to Cuba with the Outreach Foundation and had a chance to encounter the Cuban church. And the Cuban church is one of persecution. It is one of small things where it was told by the state that Christianity was not allowed, that people were not free to worship openly. But yet, at places like Central Presbyterian Church in Matanzas, there was one family that for almost 30 years continued to meet week in and week out, continued to show up at the church and open the doors and have their family devotions to sing Jesus Loves Me, to sing How Great Thou Art, to sing, somebody give me a Spanish song. I'm coming up short right now. Anyhow, and to read Scripture and to pray when they were the only one, when the community around them was fearful that if they came and participated that they would be persecuted. Recently, I had a chance to visit and be on a conference call with a church leader from Pakistan. And in Pakistan, Christians make up 2% of the population. And that 2% is kind of the lowest of the low. They are not allowed to possess jobs, anything higher than sanitation, sewage, very menial work, and they make next to nothing doing it. They have no representation in government, Congress. They are the persecuted church. And yet, in both of those cases, what God is doing by using broken people and broken places is something remarkable. It is miraculous. I heard a statistic this week that in China, in 1900, there were 9 million Christians. Now, you think about how big China is. That's not a lot. And in the course of 60 years of sort of imperial, large institutional Christian influence, missionaries and such, that population grew from 9 million to 65 million. Now you might think, wow, that's pretty great. That's a lot. Then in 1965, during the Communist Revolution, those institutional missionary agencies were forced to leave the country and they were no longer allowed. And the church went underground and it became the persecuted church. From 1965 until 2000, the Chinese Christian church grew from 65 million to 365 million, the largest increase of Christians in recorded history that we are aware of. God does beautiful things with broken places. This fish that I'm holding in my hand, this ichthus, if you want to impress your friends, the Jesus fish, it's actually called ichthus. I bought this 2 years ago when I had a chance to travel to the Holy Land with the Outreach Foundation. And in Bethlehem, Palestine, Christmas Lutheran Church, pastored by a man by the name of Mitri Rahib, is taking the conflict that exists in the Holy Land, and we are all aware of it, and I'm not trying to convince you which way to side, one way or the other, but what I want to tell you is that in the midst of a lot of strife and difficulty in the Holy Land right now, Christmas Lutheran Church and the mission agencies that have been birthed out of that are educating Palestinian men and women, Christians and non. And this church is taking what this fish is it is pieces of broken glass that have been used in conflict. You know, when you don't have sophisticated weapons, you use the tools that are at your hand. So throwing bottles, doing whatever you covering the ground with broken glass so that when vehicles drive past, the tires might be slashed or something like that. But what this church is doing, what this Palestinian Christian church is doing, is they're taking these agents of war, agents of conflict, agents of brokenness, and they're repurposing them. They're using them to tell a different story. To tell a story of how the Savior, who himself was broken, has been transformed into the living Savior who can take our broken and fractured lives and can put them together into new shapes and new pieces and new purposes that can tell a totally different story. We are crushed and perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. You know, there's a narrative in kind of in the West or in American Christianity that if you just get with Jesus, everything is going to work out just fine for you, that you are going to live your best life now, that things are going to be great, that you are never going to have another bad day. And in the history of the church, it is really just the opposite. To be a Christian is to know and to experience the acute understanding of what it means to suffer, of what it means to share in others' brokenness. If you just look at this, this piece of glass or this creation, you can see a number of things that I just want to kind of point our attention to. The first thing you see is that it is a fish. And in the early church, while it was not yet officially recognized by the Roman state, this is how Christians, people of the way, followers of Jesus, would identify with one another. If you thought that somebody was, it was a greeting that they would kind of take their foot and in the gravel or in the dirt, they would make one half of the ichthus, just that kind of that body into the tail. They would make one sweeping motion, and then the other person would fill in the other side, and that would be an indicator that we are community. So the first way that God takes things that are broken and puts them back together is he puts us with each other. He puts us into each other's lives. And one of the great things about churches this size, the small churches, that we can't avoid one another. You know, I like to tell people, there's a lot of things in this world that you get to pick and choose. What career you're going to have, family you're going to have. Well, maybe the family that you're going to create, not the family that you came from. You don't get to pick those. And I also like to say, you don't get to pick and choose who you go to church with. Or you don't get to pick and choose who's going to be your brother and sister. We are family because we're joined under one head. And so God takes broken and fractured lives and he puts them back together by putting them in community with each other. The second thing you'll notice in this beautiful little piece is that there's a cross. As you know, the cross in Christian symbolism is a good thing. It's our reminder of the victorious life of Jesus. But long ago, and to others who don't follow the way of Jesus, a cross is a symbol of violence. A cross is a symbol of torture. It is an ugly thing. It was how the Roman Empire would execute its worst criminals, those reserved for the worst types of punishment. And what this cross symbolizes is that tension between what it means to suffer and the way in which God can take suffering and can transform it into the most beautiful expression of grace and mercy and love that this world has ever known. That when Jesus spread his arms out on the cross, he was literally dying to embrace you. So this cross in this fish is a reminder to us that in our lives, when we go through tough stuff, it's okay. Because God's been there too. God knows what that means. God has experienced everything that we could ever imagine experiencing. He endured the worst possible suffering so that when we feel like we are enduring the worst possible suffering, he can say to us, I've been there too. And the last thing I want to point out is the metal that encases all of this. You know, I don't think that this is particularly valuable. I think I paid $10 or $12 for this. But it has been forged. It has been melted. It has gone through fire. And it has been used to encase all of the suffering, or all of the broken pieces, to put them together into something that makes sense, something that is understandable, something that tells a different story. And I think that's what our lives have when we allow Jesus into our lives, when we allow God to be the one who leads us and guides us. You can, there's probably many more things that we could probably notice about the fish and the glass. You know, you can see through the glass that it reflects the light. It's colorful. It's beautiful. But what I think you see in this is you see in this fish paradox. You see brokenness and you see beauty. You see something that is sharp and jagged, that has been smoothed out and has been turned into something that is easy to hold, to embrace, to hold close, that doesn't cut. And I think that's a great metaphor for the Christian life, is that there's so much paradox that we face. This thing has kind of gone with me in the last, 6-8 months or a year. I've kept it close in different places. I've hung it from my rearview mirror. I've put it in coat pockets. I've put it in my pants pocket so that when I reach my hand in, I held it in my pocket yesterday when I had the opportunity to speak at my mother-in-law's funeral. It's gone with me as a prayer encouragement, something that brings me strength when things have been difficult. And I know this is probably a little bit scary for some of you, or maybe many of you. But I would like for this to become something that gets passed around this church. This is not mine. This is something that I think we should, as a congregation, should begin to share with one another. I think it has beautiful imagery. So, like I said, a little bit out of the ordinary. If you feel like in your life there is some brokenness that you would like to see God redeem and transform and form back together, repurpose, remold, reshape. You don't have to tell us about it. If you would like to, I would gladly share the microphone because I want to stop speaking. But if you want to just put your hand up in the air and maybe raise that hand, and I'm going to come and I'm going to bring it to you. And the only stipulation for this little fish, if you want to make it a ornament that hangs from your rearview mirror or put it in your pocket, the only requirement is that you pass it on to somebody else after a period of time. And I'll check back with you. And if you haven't done it in a few weeks or a few months, then we'll make sure it happens here in church. But who needs this encouragement right now? Like I said, you don't have to say anything about it. And if I don't see any hands raising, verse 11 says, "For while we live, we are always being given up to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may be made visible in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in you, but life is at work in us." Let's pray. Lord, in the quiet and the tenderness of this moment, I pray that your Spirit would come and reside in this place. Lord, we have brought with us hopes, yearnings, anticipations, struggles. We bring life to you in all its many facets. So, Lord, this morning, wherever we are needing a touch of your Spirit, I pray that your compassion and your gentleness would rest upon our lives. Father, this morning we continue to pray for the family of Elizabeth Maginata, for rest and for recovery, for healing. We pray for comfort for the family of Merle and Judy Connor and Judy's passing. Thank you for her life. Thank you for her witness. Thank you for the unconditional love that she showed to the down and outers, the overlooked, the lost and the broken. Let the witnesses of our brothers and sisters inspire our compassion, inspire our service. Father, we see the fracturedness and the brokenness of our community and so many others. And I ask you, dear Lord, I ask you, Father, that you would open our eyes and in some unique way show us how we can be your agents of reconciliation and of peace and of restoration. Lord, we are clay jars who are being broken and who are being used so that the light and the life of Jesus Christ might shine through us, might pierce the darkness, might overcome the evil and hurt and ugliness of this world and make something beautiful. Lord, encourage us. Remind us of that passage from Revelation 21 where John says, "Behold, I am making all things new." That there will be no more crying or pain, no more heartache, no more brokenness. Because Jesus Christ is making all things new. Speak to us this week. Let your presence infuse our lives. Let it inspire our service. Let it encourage our work. Amen.
You have been listening to a podcast from Wabash Presbyterian Church. For more sermons and resources, please visit us at wabashpresbyterian.com.